This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back. Chucky's on 106.7 The Fan. We're live on NBC Sports Washington, brought to you by EMP 180 Weight Loss, the standard for weight loss in the D.C. area. EMP 180 Weight Loss. com. We got Jay Beagle from the Caps joining us at 8:40 for the morning skate. Ruben Frank covers the Eagles for NBC Sports Philly will join us at 9:20. But we wanted to dive into a topic which has been getting national attention for the last couple of years. And I know Super Bowl weekend, Justin Timberlake actually said he would never let his kid play football. And in the state of Maryland, where three of us currently live and all four of us grew up, there is a movement now, a new measure being drafted by a state delegate, which would prohibit the Maryland State Board of Education from approving tackle football programs for children under the age of 14 and require those 14 who want to play to take a course explaining the risks associated with concussions. That also would expand to heading in soccer and checking in lacrosse. So they want to outlaw all of that until they are 14 years old. You can give us your take, 800-636-1067.
Ninth grade? High school.
I don't have a problem with tackle football for kids, like Pop Warner tackle. My son plays flag football, and I've told him, if you want to play tackle, I would be okay with it. Mm-hmm. His mom... My ex apparently is on the other side of that, so who knows how that would resolve itself.
How does that
work?
And
I don't think he would play.
How does that work?
I would be okay with it. However, I'm also okay with the thought of kids playing flag all the way until high school. You know what I mean? Like, if the whole state and the whole country just said, you know what, it's going to be flag football until they're, you know, 14 years old. I don't think that would hurt the development that much. Like, is there that much of an advantage of a kid who's playing tackle when he's 11 or 12? You hear about all these NFL stars who didn't even play tackle till they're 13, 14 years old. They grew up playing flag.
Well, I think the great athletes big enough, can overcome it for sure. Great athletes can pick it up pretty quickly.
Well, the non-great athletes you don't hear about. We hear about the weekend warriors.
True. I mean, the best of the best, they're going to shine. So no matter when you start. I don't know. Do I have a problem with it? The sport that
I... heading in soccer.
Soccer, stupid.
What would
it's a huge
do?
Part
drive
of the game.
It's his only weapon on the soccer field. Great header. takes it out of your repertoire, Drab. Give
when
you props.
I played, that was the only thing I could do, too. I couldn't kick it for poop, but I could head it.
Well, with the soccer thing, I remember when that came up a couple of years ago, that the big thing was that Europe was laughing at the United States for even thinking about that.
Right.
Because we're already so far behind them in soccer. That you're going to take away one of the biggest parts of the game and not teach it to kids.
It's a massive part of the game.
Yeah.
Mm. You know?
They would never do that.
My kid plays defense in soccer, mm-hmm. and he heads, probably, you know, 10 balls a game. It's a massive part of the game. We could tell him not to do it.
Could be pummeling his brain, though.
Do people actually get
brains rattling around his head?
Heading a soccer ball? You can chime in 800-636-1067. Then lacrosse is checking. They want to take checking out until you're 14.
Check.
Now, well, here's the thing. They've mitigated a lot of that stuff. Like, where, like the real vicious sort of almost like crackback kind of hits, they've kind of eliminated that. So I don't think it's that bad. What they do, what the thing in lacrosse, ask any lacrosse player, what they beat on them is the arms. Mm-hmm. The arms are what get beat on.
Yeah.
Right.
The poles will beat. Like my son plays attack. Any attackman in lacrosse season.
Yeah, they just get hammered.
I mean, you can't even feel. Sometimes Steven will come home from practice and can't feel his arm.
Yeah.
Right. It's all welted
the
up,
pads
black
don't
and blue.
Even barely matter.
Well, the kids in lacrosse don't wear pads. Goalies don't wear pads.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Goalies are insane.
They really are.
That's where you draw the line for your kid if you're a little skittish.
Well, the goalies have to wear a chest pad.
But
and
that's
I'm guessing shoulder pads, right?
Nobody wears shoulder pads. Nobody wears shoulder pads.
Really?
I'd wear a billion pads.
Nothing below the waist.
You wear a special cup.
Well, you got a cup, but I mean, their legs are exposed.
I know, it's crazy.
Legs completely exposed. Goalies are legitimately insane.
Yeah.
So apparently the state of Maryland assembled a panel, and they had some ex-NFL and college football players, including Madu Williams. Madu Williams is now a law student at the University of Baltimore. And he said he didn't start playing tackle until his ninth grade year at Duval, where he was
Duval
14
High
years
School.
Old. And he...
Atlanta, Maryland.
That's right. And he still made it to the NFL.
That's where I would have gone if I didn't go to DeMatha.
That's right.
Dominique Foxworth, who of course started Maryland and then played in the NFL, he said during this panel that he wouldn't let his son play tackle until he's older. Mm-hmm. That he did when he was younger. He said, but given the statistics, I don't think it's necessarily worth the risk for my son. And Chris Borland, who I guess played at Maryland, not familiar with Chris Borland, also chimed in this panel, just said that you're suiting up five-year-olds in body armor to smash into each other.
Yeah, but there's
and maybe you wait until they're older.
Wasn't Chris Borland
the guy that played with the Niners
linebacker
he's
retired
linebacker.
After a year?
Yeah.
He went to
his
stud.
Oh, yeah. He
retired after he had 108 tackles.
He retired at like 26 or 27.
Yeah, I think after 1 year.
Yeah, he's 27 years old now.
Yeah.
I can see both sides because part of me, like I said, I don't know if your son ever was interested in playing tackle football. I think I never would want to discourage my child. So if like they're interested in something, I would want them to do it. At the same time, I could see why not just hold off until high school.
We're a little archaic over at my house. If he wants to play it, we play it. That's, you know. And if his head hurts,
that's my tendency.
If his head hurts, tell daddy, don't tell the trainer.
Right.
But we're old school, and it's probably not the right way to do it. So you're probably asking the wrong guy. You're probably asking the wrong guy. Because I feel like we've all kind of grew up, and we're all okay.
But see, none of us played tackle football other than with our friends.
Right.
Right.
And that was without helmets and without
and
pads.
That was dumb, too, but yeah. We still did
yeah,
it.
Yeah, but most people, in fact of the matter, are going to play high school football.
Right.
Maybe a little college. All those guys that I know. And none of them have scrambled eggs for brains. Now, maybe if you play at a professional level and you go in the NFL and you're in the Hall of Fame, I mean, we've seen the damage, clearly. Mm-hmm. But I think if you have an average existence.
High school player.
High school, you're going to be okay.
It's probably going to be all right.
But I don't think it would hurt the sport. Like, with these ex-NFL players, all three of them, ex-NFL players, I guess, support this bill. What they're saying is you just don't have the guys banging in each other when they're 5, 6, 7, 8 years
it
old.
Seems, I don't think it's necessary.
Yeah,
but they're also
flag.
So little. They're not killing each other. They're so little.
But there are injuries.
There are injuries. All right, let's go. Let me see here. Let's go to Griffin.
But there are injuries
Fairfax.
In flag, by the way. I remember we played on the same college football flag team.
You're absolutely right.
Hold on for a second, buddy.
We played on the same college football, you know, not college, whatever you call it,
right.
Rec ball. EB and I played on this flag football team, and you got hurt one game. We had to, like, call the ambulance, I believe.
I got concussed.
Yeah. Listen,
knocked my tooth out.
Yeah, he went up for a catch, and somebody banged into his head or whatever.
I was running a
crossing
pattern.
That's part of growing up, EB, right? That's part of growing up. That's part of being, like, going through that. Hey, I hurt myself. I got to be more careful. Bottom line is, injuries do not occur when they're 5 and 7, 8 years old.
All right, call back. Your phone is the worst.
Your phone suffered an injury.
Yeah.
Terrible phone.
All right, let's go.
So Jason didn't have to deal with it. He just had two daughters. But do you ever worry about them? I mean, I guess they just played softball.
Oh, I didn't worry about them.
They never played a sport where they could get whacked in the head?
I mean, you can in softball. Fire a 70-mile-an-hour fastball at her head wearing a helmet.
I mean, it happens once a season.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
No, I'm not worried about that.
I would cringe sometimes watching my son play lacrosse. So, I mean, some of the hits, I mean, just random hits, left and right. Vicious.
Yeah, but they're not that. Not that regular.
For the most part, they're not regular.
Maybe once a game, there might be a big one.
But sometimes you see like somebody crunch into your kid, or just another kid out on the field. Like, ooh, that looked a bit scary.
Yeah, I just worry about ligaments. I'm more worried about.
That's scary too.
Yeah. Let's go to. Let me see. Let's go to Anna in Annapolis. Anna, what's up? You're on with the Junkies. How are you?
Good morning, buddies.
Hello, Anna.
Hey.
Hi. So, I have always been totally fine. Well, I have a 4-year-old, right? So we're just sort of early in this. He just did flag football in the spring, and he's doing ice skating now because he wants to play hockey. He's sports obsessed. So I've always been supportive of, you know, whatever he wants to do, we're going to let him do it. He's a little boy. He wants to play sports. But on Netflix, they have Coach Snoop. Have y'all seen this?
No, I'm not.
Snoop Dogg is a football coach, right? So he pays for this team in inner city LA, and they take him everywhere. They fly him to Dallas and everywhere to play football. Well, last night we were watching and there was an episode where two of the kids in a game got concussions, and it was really upsetting to watch. Like, these are middle school kids, and the one little boy, he got hit on the top of the head, and he kept talking about how it tingled just all over in his hands, and he just wasn't thinking right. And it really sort of started this conversation between my husband and I, because when you see it, unfortunately, you know, Coach Snoop for us to see it, but, you know, it's different when you see it on TV and you're like, man, I might have to think about this a little bit harder.
I mean, at four, I don't think it's necessary to be in tackle.
I think it's so
what's
cute.
The point?
I think it's so cute to see those kids playing football.
Pedro, what's up? Pedro's joined us for this discussion.
It's interesting here because the lady that's proposed this legislation, the Anne Arundel County Youth Football Message Board, and of course I do a lot of work with Anne Arundel County Parks and Recreation on this, they want to kill this lady. They're like, she's the devil because she is proposing this legislation. Because we have football from, you know, full padded football from 70 pound, which is 5 and 6 year olds, all the way up through 13 and 14 year olds. They think this lady's the devil already.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, just look at the message boards. They've got people that are, you know, you got some people now putting out false reports. Hey, you want to come testify on behalf of this, talking about CTE and stuff. They're like, dude, you don't know anything about CTE until you're dead. They
but
study
also
your brain.
The counter to this is that, of course, in the moment, when people are prisoners in the moment, they may not see change, which happens, but people fought against seatbelts in cars.
Perhaps.
People fought against so many different things.
I've dealt with it. That big of an issue.
I've dealt with it. I mean, myself, I know for a fact, but I played high school football in an era where if you weren't dead, you went back on the field. Mm-hmm. One of my own players hit me while I was making a tackle. I blanked out, saw stars for probably 12 or 13 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
But because I was the quarterback, I went back in the game.
Because
the guy, ironically, that hit me, he was the backup quarterback. But my son went through this in lacrosse. He was coming up the sideline and took a cheap shot from a guy, and of course, fell backwards, snapped the head backwards, which is another way to get concussions that people don't really realize. So I've seen it. Now he's got significant migraine issues, which I think are, in
from
a way,
that.
Related to that.
By the way, even on the NFL level, Patrick Chung was concussed, and he went back in the game, and then afterwards he got hurt again in the game, and you could tell.
Right, but how do we perfect that process, though? Because we've seen it botched on so many levels.
Well, in this case,
at the pro
just
level.
The legislation, whether she's the devil or not, and like I said, I'm kind of torn on this, is to try and protect children.
The ironic thing about it is,
but what about the idea, though, that it's a parent's responsibility? You don't want, you know, a buddy of mine is texting me as we're talking about this. He's like, I don't want the government telling me when my kid can play a sport or what he can do.
But our government tells kids when they can't drink. Our government tells kids when they can't smoke.
Yeah.
So why are you okay with smoking laws, drinking laws, driving laws?
Well, I just think there's a limit. I mean, at some point.
Just saying that that's what the government does.
It would be hard
for
me.
There should be a limit.
You have the government involved in your kid's behavior.
I think a lot of that has to do with sort of legalities, right? You can't be responsible drinking if you're 15, right? It's, you know, you need to be an adult. That's kind of the idea behind it, right?
But if you take the kids out of the equipment, though, if you take kids out of the equipment in football, is it really going to affect the way they play the game as they get older? You get kids all the time that don't play full contact football until they get into high school level. For years, the bigger kids were always at a handicap. They couldn't play because it was always weighted instead of having, you know, age football.
I think it would probably work, but whatever. I don't think at lacrosse it's a big issue. My buddy is a lacrosse referee. He told me he's done over 3,000 games. He's only seen 2 concussions.
It's random. Let's face it, it's all random. You can bang. You got people that play football. I played football from the time I was 5. Mm-hmm. You can bang your head all you want. It's random. Some people will get injured. Some people won't. I mean, it's just a random thing.
Without the government's influence, it would be tough for me as a parent if I had sons, if they really wanted to play tackle football, to tell them that.
Yeah, absolutely.
I didn't tell mine, though. My younger one played.
Yeah.
All right. Phones are locked and loaded. We'll come back. Take your calls. 800-636-1067. What do you think about this proposed legislation to ban tackle football until the age of 14 in the state of Maryland?
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back. Junkies on 106.7 The Fan, talking about this proposed bill in Maryland, which would outlaw tackle football until the age of 14, basically high school age. It also would take away heading in soccer until that age, and also checking in lacrosse. Let's go to the phones, 800-636-1067. A bunch of people want to weigh in.
All right, let's go to Dominic in Ohio. We'll just go in order here. Line one all the way down. Hey, Dominic, what's up, buddy?
Thanks for taking the call. Yep. Love the show.
Thanks.
So regarding this issue, first of all, I don't really have a huge issue with it for the football or lacrosse. The removal of header from soccer is really all ridiculous.
Your phone's going in and
Somebody's
out.
Saying that they've about already done that for U13 in soccer. Is that
true?
I know
they've done it in some leagues.
Cakes, why do people have poopy cell phones?
I don't know. I wish I had the explanation for that.
Let's go to Andrew in Arlington. Andrew, what's up?
Hey, is this better?
Yes. Phone? Yes.
Okay, great.
So far.
Thanks. So even though they include a little bit of soccer and a little bit of lacrosse, it strikes me as not pro-safety, but really anti-football. My son played flag football, got a concussion, has played tackle football in high school, has had other injuries but not a concussion. And, you know, if they really wanted to make this pro-safety, they would go out, they would study all the other sports, and they would set a line. And that's why the seatbelt law analogy kind of fails, because we don't have a seatbelt law just for Chevys and not for Fords, right? We have a seatbelt law for everybody and for every car. And so if they want to have a pro safety law, then they should set it for every sport. And I think it's ridiculous. They're picking on football. Granted, there is data that shows that they're in concussions in tackle football.
You spoke too highly of your phone too early, because now you're fading out.
Got to move on.
Man, thank you, Andrew. Appreciate it.
It's unbelievable.
Yep.
It's actually not unbelievable.
That's pretty believable.
It happens all the time.
It happens every day on the show.
Let's go to Jeremy in Largo. Jeremy, what's up?
Hey, what's up, guys?
Hey, Jeremy.
Yeah, well, first of all, the worst injury I've ever seen is co-ed church volleyball, where this guy came down and his ankle was all the way stuck to the side. That's the worst injury I've ever seen live.
Oh, really? Gross. Sounds like Gordon Hayward.
Oh.
Look, yeah. If you play sports, you can't yep. prevent injuries in general. Yeah, maybe you can limit some of these. You can wait a little longer, and maybe that's good for brain development, et cetera. But you're going to get injured. If you play sports, you're going to get injured.
Hey, why did you do the co-ed church league?
My kids are going to be stupid no matter what. I'll tell you that. I'm joking. A bigger problem, I'll tell you, in Anne Arundel County, go ask any kid in elementary school how long their recess is. It's like 15 minutes, all right? And then, you know, that's actually the amount of time they get in recess, like at Anne Arundel County schools. It's like 15 minutes, but
there's not much recess time or PE.
There's not. Yeah, it's getting cut back in the school districts.
Did we have PE every day growing up?
Oh, yeah.
Yes. Like it was every day.
It's a highlight of my day.
My kids go once a week.
And it was about an hour, 45 minutes to an hour.
Yeah, they got it. They got it once a week now. It's only once a week. And then a little bit of, you know. And anyway, but on flag, I coach flag football for my son. My wife won't let me put him into tackle football. And he really wants to, but I kind of, you know, I'm not going to like fight her over and over about it or anything like that. I just kind of throw my hands up on that one when she's ready. And, you know, and then they're making a law about it. I don't know. I just feel like, it's just out of my hands anymore.
It's a proposal.
You know?
It's likely not to pass from what I've read.
I still think you just got to leave it up to individual parents.
Yeah.
It's up to you.
There's a certain level of risk.
Yeah, that you're gonna, you know,
when you sign
up for sports, no matter what the sport is, maybe some head injuries are more likely than others. But like, you know, you could have a head injury in baseball. I mean, you get a head injury in anything. You could tear ligaments. Is that not as bad? I don't know. Maybe it's not, because you can heal from it better. I just feel like all the guys I know that played normal, had normal sort of high school, maybe a little bit of college football. I don't. know that they're necessarily suffering from CTE or any signs of it. I don't know. I think it's the ones that are at risk are the freaks that
go on
and play
until
the...
Horace is kind of a donk. He played high school football.
Horsey.
True. I'm just taking a gratuitous
shot. I don't think he has any
head
injuries.
I like Horsey. I just think it's
head
injuries. Just so easy.
He also didn't play that much.
He's not the brightest bulb.
Oh, you're
sorry, Horsey.
Him.
You're just getting
I'm
killed.
I'm sorry, Thomas Horsecamp. I think when
I apologize. I think Tommy's big story is his senior year, he lined up offsides at receiver, and Bill McGregor was lit.
Not a complete the trifecta. He did make a lot of tackles in the game against the
Demons. Did they
take
him out of the game?
Oh, yeah. And Bill yelled at him, "You're a senior!"
Right.
Horsey suffers from CTE and NUB.
Yeah, he definitely has that. Short stack syndrome.
Short stack syndrome.
Yeah. Triple S's. Let's go to Ryan in Crofton. Ryan, what's up?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Hey.
What's up?
Hey, I guess I can't speak so much to football, but probably more lacrosse and soccer. I assume they're more technique-oriented with checking and heading. But I coach in referee wrestling, and I can tell you my experience with wrestling, you want the kids to get good technique down at a young age, especially with refereeing. There's nothing scarier than refereeing two beginner 13-year-olds. You know, they don't have good technique. They bend knees the wrong way. There's actually technique to taking the guy down or returning him to the mat, like slamming him, essentially. There's a right way to do it. And these kids, they hit puberty, and they don't know any better. There's a lot of injuries there. There's something to be said for, at 7 or 8, making mistakes. When you're younger, the kids aren't hitting as hard. They aren't slamming as hard. And I assume it's that way, like I said, for checking in lacrosse and especially heading in soccer. You don't want a bunch of 13- or 14-year-olds, beginners, trying this stuff for the first time.
I'm telling you, the checking in lacrosse is not a big deal. If there's going to be a concussion in lacrosse, typically it will be a ball to the helmet. Like if it hits the ear hole or something. My son got a concussion. I'm pretty certain when a ball hit him in the neck. But just checking or just wailing on your shoulders and your arms, you're going to be fine. It's just going to hurt. Might go numb, but I think it'd be fine. Yeah. Let's go to – now, football's different. Let's go to Brandon in D.C. Brandon, what's up?
Hey, Junks, what's going on? Hey, longtime youth football coach down in the state of Florida and done a lot of camps. And I have no problem with them changing the rule because a lot of the fundamental skills and techniques that the better players, you know, acquire at that age is not tackling. It's, you know, footwork. It's eye and hand coordination. It's, you know, those type of techniques that are more important to the development of a young player's, you know, future in the game. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, the tackling and everything like that is done a lot of incorrect ways at that young of an age, mm-hmm. that I don't see no reason with them changing the flag until the, you know, individuals turn 14 and leaving it up to the parents. There's too many parents that are too irresponsible and don't know better to, you know, make those educated decisions on if their kids should play or shouldn't play.
You
know,
you guys have uneducated, sort of unaware parents. I don't know. I don't know that we can just go out of our way to try to save every single kid.
Well, Ken, again, though, you outlaw cigarettes for kids. Why? Why would that be different? It's both safety.
I don't know. I don't know. Wish I was a better advocate for it.
So should your son be able to go in and buy cigarettes when he's 10?
I know certainly for alcohol, I assume one of the big reasons why we ban that is because you can actually, you know, you can harm others when you're on alcohol. Smoking, maybe I can make the argument for secondhand smoke, how that affects others. I don't know. I don't need there to be a law to say not to smoke. My kids will not smoke. When my kids turn 18, they're not going to smoke.
I get it.
So I don't need the law. It doesn't really, that would be my answer. I don't need that law. I would say that law is unnecessary.
Let the record show I did not start smoking cigarettes at 10.
Oh, okay.
My good name is being sullied here.
Maybe it was 13.
I think you got to let parents be parents for the most part. And I want as little government interaction and intervention as possible.
The only time I ever took a puff of a cigarette, it was at a Richmond soccer tournament, mm-hmm. when I played on the South Bowie Bears with one Johnny Cake Sawville.
Yeah.
I think it was Richmond. Could have been Virginia
Beach.
Did
Cake share the cigarette with you?
No, his dad was smoking a cigarette.
Like
in a hotel
my dad
room.
Was giving you a life experience,
and
JP.
And it was odd because I'd never seen Mean Gene smoke a cigarette. And he said, "Well, when I'm away from the wife, I can smoke." So he wasn't a smoker in the house.
Yeah,
he kept it away from his kids.
And that was when we were young. Now he wasn't smoking that I knew of.
But on a vacation or on a soccer tournament weekend, he would smoke the cigarettes, and he offered me a puff and Cake's a puff.
Right. Yeah, it was gross. And then later,
get,
I was
get you fired up for that soccer
I
game.
Smoking like a chimney, like an idiot.
I think it was after the tournament.
Let's go to Dan in Chantilly. Dan, what's up, buddy?
Hey, good morning, guys. First off, one of the big differences between cigarette smoking and football is that cigarette smoking is highly addictive, and you know it's going to kill you.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas you're talking about CTE, a very small number of cases, you know, small percentage wise.
You ever played Daily Fantasy
Sports? Opinion.
Highly addictive. Kind of in the same realm. Yeah. I want to put a warning label on them.
Go ahead. But, I like it, Dan. Go ahead.
But look, I grew up playing football. I grew up playing sports year round.
Right.
And the bigger issue that I see with this, and I understand the knee-jerk reaction when you see something on CNN saying so-and-so has CTE and went nuts and whatever it may be, is that, and this is going to sound like an old man on a soapbox, and I'm only 40, but I'm already feeling like an old soul, is that every generation I can see it, we are just bubble-wrapping our kids, and they are getting softer and softer and softer. I have a lot of entry-level millennials, and at the hint of snow, they're already, I can't come in. I'm too scared. It's too dangerous. I mean, the whole area shuts down.
I know.
Yeah. And I think long term, it's gonna harm future generations and their ability to cope in the real world. I'm not saying I won't hire an athlete, but if you're a competitive athlete and I see your resume, you're automatically bumped to the top of my list because it shows the dedication. It shows the hard work, especially in
Absolutely.
A successful program.
Right.
But you keep bubble wrapping these kids, and we are just going to go downhill. And again, this is a very broad way of looking at it and hyperbole a little bit. But future generations of this country are just going to fail getting out to the real world if we're scared of our own shadows.
All right, yeah. Thanks, pal. All right, we've got a tale of two callers that we need to get to this segment. We have a neurosurgeon, and we have Chad Dukes.
I'd rather go to Chad. I think I'd rather go to Chad. The neurosurgeon is going to tell you, of course, that if you get hit in the head, there's going to be some damage. I'm sure.
We can give him a minute.
Let's go to both.
Chad.
I'm going to go to Chad first. Chad, what's up, buddy?
Of course, JP doesn't want to go to me. It's a ridiculous argument that JP's making because cigarettes do nothing but hurt you. They are for addictive purposes. The structure that you learn in football, the teamwork that you learn in football, the work ethic that you learn in football has incredible value.
How's that taken away if you take
for
away
young
tackle?
People. What?
How's that taken
because
away if you take away tackle? You
can still
get all those things that you talked about.
Football puts that sport at a different level above all others. And there's also inherent value in learning that you can get hit and pop back up. The thing that last caller was just talking about, when you've never been punched in the face, you walk around constantly being terrified of being punched in the face. Once you realize it can happen and your jaw doesn't break and you don't fall down and you don't die, there's value in that. And then the contact and the violence of football, learning that you can survive that and it's something that's okay and that you can move on with your life and God forbid you excel at it, how valuable do you think that is to kids? There is no value in smoking cigarettes to kids. So that argument is ridiculous. You keep making it, and I appreciate Bickle. He's kind of asleep.
It was an example of the government. It was an example of the government, much like with seatbelts. If you want to get off cigarettes, seatbelts. There's legislation that comes out based on safety as we learn more and more about safety.
Doesn't that have to do with like insurance rates and things like that, you know, with the seatbelt deal?
JP, the speed limits should be 80 miles an hour. They put the speed limits in when cars were made of cast iron and there weren't crumple zones and there weren't airbags. When people like you get involved with legislation, you never go back. If you capitulate one inch to all of this over-legislation of our way of life, we never get our freedoms back. And that's what we're talking about here. We don't need legislation. We need the information, we need the technology, and we need to educate the goddamn parents to make that call. I don't want some bureaucrat making that call for me that my kid's not allowed to play football. I want to be given that choice, and that is the difference.
Right. I agree.
It's not an uninformed view. You're talking about ex-players.
Yes, it is.
Who
you're
played in the NFL.
You're talking points.
Who
you're not
offering
critically.
Advice.
And that's what they would.
Based on safety.
Brother, you read bumper stickers and you vomit this stuff back out on the show like you thought about it for one instance. You take your stance and then you just roll
the bumper sticker. Am I looking at
on the back of a bumper
Please.
Sticker.
By the way, I don't know if you heard the beginning of it. I said I would let my son play. So
you're comparing tackle football to cigarettes. That's ridiculous. That's something you would read on Twitter in a short little soundbite, and then go ahead and bring that up.
I'm not comparing tackle football to cigarettes. What I'm pointing it out, I'm using it as an analogy that there is legislation that is often passed as we learn more and more about things. Cigarettes, at one point, people thought were safe. Then they started learning that they weren't safe, and they started throwing labels on it and putting laws so that kids couldn't smoke.
I don't
so
know that people really smoke in thought places. Cigarettes were safe. I think they were in denial.
Okay.
And they just
well,
didn't
well,
want it to be proven.
However yeah. you want to say
Rob's
it.
Still
but again,
in denial.
I don't need a law like because I'm an educated parent, so my kids won't smoke.
Hey, look,
they never
for the
will.
Most part, and Chad, this
I
is where you,
you
may be wrong. I'm pretty left-leaning. However, I'm pretty libertarian as well. I wouldn't have laws against heroin. I wouldn't have laws against any drugs.
I understand. And I'm with you there. And far, as far as you saying, look, I agree with you. We need the information, like the NFL covering up CTE or our military handing out cigarettes to our boys overseas and saying these are good for you. That can't happen. That's garbage. You're absolutely right. But once the education process has happened, I don't think we've got states in this country now that are moving fast food chains. They are requiring them, legislating them to be 500 yards away from high schools because kids have obesity. That does nothing. That does absolutely nothing except add more red tape and more bureaucracy.
Well, they have to walk 500 yards.
Yeah, they burn a few calories walking to the
Jack
in the Box.
They're going to get the fast food. They're going to get the triple cheeseburger. Trust me, I know.
Yeah. Dukies, right, thank you, buddy.
Thank you, bud.
Thank you, Chad.
I love you. Sorry for the yelling. I apologize.
No,
thank
I
you,
like
Chad.
It. I like it. Thank you.
Very bitter. I'm very
rich. Just want him to have his voice heard.
Can we go to the neurosurgeon real quick? We have to get equal time.
We got Beegs.
Equal time?
Oh, that's true. We got Beegs.
Yeah, he could call back. I'm sure the neurosurgeon's going to say that, you know, if you bump your head on the door, you're going to have dementia. Can't we just assume a neurosurgeon would say that?
It's probably just a dog caller pretending to be a neurosurgeon.
Do we
anyway.
Really have neurosurgeons so, yeah, that listen to the
we
show?
We can't have that many.
I think we have at least one.
At all.
They have to turn off their brains at some point. Yeah, they right. listen to us.
All right, let me come back. Let's talk a little cat. Let's talk to Jay Beagle. Don't go anywhere.
When would I get them involved?
Yeah.
I mean, as early as I can, I think, you know, I think it's something that, you know, I know in Canada now, I was actually talking with my dad about this. It's funny you asked me that, a couple of days ago, how they were talking about in Canada, you know, banning, checking until I think it was Bantam. So I think that's like when you're 14, 15 would be the first time you'd be allowed to check. And I am not a fan of that. I think it's stupid just because when you're 14, 15, the guys are like 5'1" or 6'1". You know, there's a huge range of kids, like obviously have hit puberty and kids that are, you know, developing later. And so to introduce something like checking when a kid's already behind the eight ball, to me seems stupid just because, you know, the earlier you introduce it, the better I think it is because everyone's on the same playing field. You know, it's everyone's around the similar height and weight when you're, you know, younger, 10, 11. And, I don't know. For me, it's to learn to check is a crucial part of the game, and to learn to take a check is a crucial part of the game. So I've always thought opposite. I've always thought, you know, introduce them as early as possible, and that's just what I think. I don't know if that's right, but that's what I kind of believe.
By the way, speaking of checking, going back to, I believe it was the game in Pittsburgh when Wilson got rung up for, I think it was a roughing call. It looked like a pretty clean check to me. Is that just another example of Wilson being targeted by the refs from some of his previous incidents? And, you know, I was listening to the broadcast. Craig Lachlan said repeatedly, there's nothing dirty there. It's a clean check. He just finished the check, and the ref just saw that it was Wilson and rang him up for it.
Yeah. I agree with Locker. I mean, it was weird. All of us sitting on the bench too was like, what do you want from him there? Like, what's he supposed to do? It's a clean hit. You know, and they ended up calling him for it. So we were same thing on the bench. We were, you know, kind of didn't understand why it was a call. So, those ones you definitely want to make sure that you get a kill for a guy though. Cause you know, I didn't think it was a penalty. So I think, yeah, maybe, you know, I don't know why the refs call some of those. You just see it every once in a while where, you know, obviously refs are human too. They're going to make mistakes too, but, yeah, maybe they targeted Willie. I don't know. I'm not too sure. It wasn't a call, I thought so.
So you guys are on the road tonight in Columbus. I'm stealing this from our good friend Joe Beninati, who does the games with Locker on NBC Sports Washington. Five of the last six games between you and the Blue Jackets decided by one goal. So it should be another tight affair there in Columbus tonight. Mm-hmm. And you guys have 30 games left. How does Coach Trotz get you guys to avoid like the doldrums of this last like third of the season on this road trip?
Right.
You play the Blue Jackets on the road and then back here at Capital One for the next game as well.
Yeah. Well, these two games are going to be huge, obviously. You know, just losing the last two, we're not, you know, happy with that. Obviously, it's something that I think we're seeing teams right now that are in playoff mode. And I think it's awesome that, you know, our division is so tight because it doesn't allow us to, you know, back off at all. I think in the previous years, we've backed off just a little bit. Knowing that we had such a lead and that we were such a good team that we could still, you know, get by with wins, not playing our best. And, you know, this year, I think we got to make sure that we get in playoff mode right now and, start playing our best and start, you know, gearing up for the playoffs so that when we do go into playoffs, we're playing our best hockey and we're confident in our game. And, you know, it's nice to have, you know, play teams that are in playoff mode, so it makes for good hockey and it's fun hockey. You know, I think we got to gear up now.
Hey Jay, somebody's asking me on Twitter to ask you about cleaning up, sort of, you know, turning the puck over in the defensive zone. That's happening a lot. I'm sure that's a point of emphasis for you guys. How can you accomplish that?
Yeah, we've talked about it quite a bit, just with video, with going over video and watching kind of where we are turning pucks over. And a lot of it comes from teams. We run a 1-1-3 in the neutral zone. And so a lot of times our right side is going down and playing low. And teams are starting to kind of focus on that and put it to our right side to make sure that our right winger now is low instead of the center. You know, and I just think it's something that we just have to adjust to and make sure that we're you know, keeping it simple. I think a lot of times we've talked about in the last, you know, even 2 weeks of maybe getting back to pucks and rimming and getting pucks out is the number one, you know, emphasis instead of trying to break out clean every time. Of course, there are times where we can break the puck out clean and come out of our zone clean. But you see a lot of teams now rimming pucks, you know, first touch, they rim pucks right away, get along the wall and chip it out and get it in the neutral zone in a foot race. And you see that with Vegas too, and flipping pucks out as soon as they touch it. And it makes it hard because it's hard to forecheck a team that just gets it out of their zone right away. And so I think we're adding that to our game and working that into our D zone, you know, you know, we just got to continue to work on it and make sure that that's a big thing, not turning pucks over in our zone and getting the puck out. It makes us feel faster too, you know, when you're going after them in the neutral zone instead of them always coming right after us.
Jay, Ovi keeps piling up the goals. Pretty amazing. He has more than double the goals to the next highest scorer on the team. Ovi's got 32. Kuzi has 14. I know your kids are young. We talked about them earlier, but I hope you're squirreling away some pucks, some signed sticks, maybe a signed jersey when they're old enough to realize what a legend that you're playing with here with the Caps in Ovi.
Yeah, no, I should start doing that.
You should.
I should start getting Ovi to sign stuff for me for them. That's a good idea. It's an amazing thing. I mean, you take it for granted just being with him for as long as, you know, I've been with the team. You just take it for granted seeing him every day and hanging out with him and stuff. And even the kids come into the dressing room and he always gives them, you know, high fives and fist pumps and stuff and hangs out with them for a bit. So you take it for granted for sure, having such a, you know, a legend of the game, you know, with us in the room every day. And, you know, he's playing great and he's our leader. So we just need him, you know, to keep doing that into playoffs here and you know, go get a cup.
Joined by Jay Beagle on the Mattress Warehouse Hotline. Curious, did Jay Beagle watch the Super Bowl?
I did, yeah. We had a Super Bowl party, so I watched a little bit of it.
Nice. Who hosted?
Yeah. We actually did it at a bar this year because nobody wanted to host.
That's hilarious.
That's smart.
Yeah. Did you guys like rent it out to yourselves, or you had like a back room or something?
Yeah. No, we rented a bar out for ourselves, and that was actually really good because, you know, we played some games and stuff, and no one had to worry about cleaning up. And yeah, no, it was really fun. It was a lot of fun. So
what games do you play?
Like pool, that kind of thing.
Just some games that they had there, and darts, like, and stuff. And
exactly, games you have at a bar.
Bar games.
Right, like you could play shuffleboard, you could pinball, you could play Space Invaders. I sound like 100 years old. By the way, Jay, you're kind of taking a bite from the junkies bit. You're going to be out and about this Saturday at Sports Chevrolet in Silver Spring, Maryland. It's a Jay Beagle appearance. Tell people what they can do, where they can meet you.
Play from 2 to 4 on Saturday, signing autographs and taking pictures. So for the three people who want to come out and meet me, that'd be a lot of fun.
Hey, make sure they pay you in cash.
A lot of people want to meet Jay. Every person we've ever spoken to that's met Jay talks about what an unbelievable guy he is.
Yep.
So definitely want to go out there and say hi to Jay.
So again, that's Sports Chevrolet, Silver Spring, Maryland, this Saturday, February 10th from 2 to 4 p.m.
Very cool. Thank you, Jay. Appreciate it, buddy.
Awesome. Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me. Have a great day.
All right, you
good
too,
luck
pal.
Against Columbus tonight.
Yeah. Got to turn it around here, Cakes.
Oh, I know what I'm watching on TV tonight. I'm watching the Caps.
Cakes, it's amazing that no one is talking about this in sports. It's got to be one of the best stories in sports. But Vegas now has 74 points.
I know. It's amazing.
They've already broken the record for expansion wins, and they're leading their division.
You know what they did
to
the Caps?
The
Sweet. Sweepy sweep.
Swept the Caps.
Sweep sweep. Not two games.
That's GMGM, right?
GMGM, yes, doing work in Vegas. Good for him.
Expansion team, their second best team in hockey.
You watching Caps over the Wizards, Cakes?
Sorry?
Oh, that's right. You got Caps and Wizards.
Caps and Wizards.
Off, double screen it somehow. I don't have EB's 17 TVs, but I will work some sort of workaround. Like, I'll consult Valdez. He's my guy. Helps me with these sorts of things. By the way, the Vegas Golden Knights, only team that Ovi has not scored against in his career.
Incredible.
Now he's played against him in two
games.
How many
times? He played him twice.
It's a very small sample size.
I think he'll get his share.
He will
all
at some point.
That's a feather in their cap.
Right.
Well, let's just wait till next season.
Yeah.
Or
post-season. What does that mean?
Stanley Cup Finals?
That's the only time you can meet them, right?
What?
Yes.
No, I'm not going there.
He starts laughing at himself.
I'm not going there.
35 wins.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Nuts.
It's absurd.
For expansion team.
Vegas.
Right. That's crazy.
All right, coming up next, we'll open up the entertainment page. We do have Ruben Frank, Eagles reporter for NBC Philly, joining us at 9:20 right here on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.